This is Diamond Dave, and I'm talking to Dan Pizarro, and you may have seen his cartoon today in the Chronicle. In fact, it's there every day through the magic of connecting. Today said what? It was a guy in the casket, there in the bottom, like a banner saying what humor is. Are you there?
Yeah, here I am.
Okay, it said humor is...
laughter not always the best medicine, is that it?
That's it, laughter is not always the best medicine, and he's lying in his casket, and she's saying, I tried, I said for a comedian, and there he was, dead as a doornail, pretty funny, in an ironic kind of way, like Ambrose Bierce, and that whole of San Francisco, but anyway... Folks have been used to seeing as a daily basis with their morning coffee your cartoon Bizarro, but now you're going on tour. You're going out with your voice, with your person in 3D. What's your idea about this? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I have a one man comedy stage show that I do, and I've been doing it for a few years. This is a new version of it that's probably more elaborate and tighter than any of the ones I've done before. But it's basically it's kind of like a variety show. It mostly entails any strange thing I think up that I might want to do in front of strangers that I think will make them laugh. That's what the show is like.
Well, it fits with your cartoon, bizarro humor, the humor found in the strange, the unusual, the stuff, you know, doesn't go through your mind every day, but to looking at it from a different perspective. Isn't that kind of what you're about, Dan?
Yeah, that's definitely it. Yeah, it's like taking the normal everyday things in life and turning them backward and seeing them in a completely different perspective, or from a different perspective, I guess. Yeah, that's totally how I work.
Well, that's a lineage that goes all the way back. I'm thinking of Paul Krasner, and I'm thinking of the early days. I don't know how old you are. I'm 68. I'm an old guy, an old beatnik guy. So I go back to the early days of Mad Magazine when they put out issue, volume one, number one of Mad Magazine. You probably don't remember, but you may have seen it. And it came upon the 50s. It was the 50s were still pretty much going on, and it had pretty much that attitude. And it was like dropping a bomb.
Yeah, those are great. Those were classic years for Mad back then. They were amazing.
Well, they had these geniuses got together. They had, I think, these geniuses got together. We could call some of the names. Got together. They had labored. They'd labored in the factory of comic books for years and years and years. And they finally somebody gave a chance to really stretch out and do this that kind of stuff they had done for one another. And had the idea that maybe there's an audience out there of kids, the Beat Generation. Some of their favorite humor was about beatniks back then. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was amazing stuff. I wasn't old enough to know about it at the time. I mean, I was born in the very late 50s, but I've certainly caught up with it. Historically, I've read about those early days.
Yeah, there was Kurtzman. Well, I was just getting ready, reading science fiction, getting ready, living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and getting ready to look for others like myself, which soon by 1957 had brought me. Well, I'd been here, but I'd gotten to San Francisco in 1957 to join the Beat Generation.
Cool.
So this was a generation of Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, that must have been a really fascinating time to be there, huh?
It was. Well, it's still, well, if you see it that way, and you kind of do, I mean, I know you do. I'm looking at what you do. I hadn't seen your fine art, but looking at what you do, if you can see it that way, it still is kind of that way. Do you get my drift?
Yeah, sure.
What is it? It's like Jewish, the Jewish humor that the bad times bring out. Oh, look at that one. Oh, blue-eyed Jesus. It's a cool one. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about some of my paintings.
Yeah, we're talking about your painting on your website, which you'll give, which is www.bizarro.com. And we just happened to click on your fine art site. Talk a bit about that, because this is amazing.
Yeah.
And you have the bleeding heart the heart of Jesus, which is, in fact, the very almost photorealistic heart. In fact, you are kind of a surrealistic, photorealistic guy, aren't you, in your paintings?
Yeah, my paintings don't remind people at all of my cartoons. They're very different. I tend to paint in a Italian Renaissance style.
Oh, that's the first word that came to my mind.
Yeah,
the Renaissance.
And I add all kinds of modern references and a certain amount of sort of other scribbled images on top of the other images. And most of them have a very kind of a Catholic religious look to them, but And it's, you know, I'm not a particularly religious person, but I am fascinated by the psychological aspects of religion and how it works on the human psyche. And so a lot of my paintings are about that very thing. I went to Catholic school as a kid. I had to go to Mass 6 days a week. I was an altar boy, you know, the whole deal. So, you know, by the time I was 18, I had gone to church enough times to save probably an entire village of souls.
Shoot. But you're human. What was it that cracked you loose? What was it that cracked you loose? Here the altar boy dancing around, I guess, avoiding the priest. And what was it that began to crack you loose? What did you see? What did you read that began to open your eyes that there's a whole other world out there, freewheeling, freestyling, and free-flowing?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I was always just pretty inquisitive. I always wondered how come and how so and why do we do this and why do you say that? I think by the time I was a late teenager, I wanted more evidence and proof of the kinds of magical things that the Catholic Church was telling me about, all these great the miracles and the things that you could do. And so I began kind of investigating those things on my own. I went to some different churches. I went to some fundamentalist Bible churches who claimed to be able to heal people. And, you know, I really sort of I spent several years investigating. I traveled.
Where were your roots?
I did the typical kind of backpacking through Europe thing when I was 20 years old. I just, you know, saved up some money and bought a train pass and a backpack and took off for Europe. And I spent 4 months doing that, just bumming around. And
so that was in the late 70s or early 80s. Am I getting the chronology right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. This would have been about 1980. Yeah, and that actually changed my life for the good in enormous ways. And I've been a huge advocate of travel, especially for young people, ever since, because you just learn so much more about human nature and about the world when you travel to other people's homes and cities and countries and see what ways in which they're the same, what ways are they different. It amazes me that the State Department website apparently says that fewer than 10% of Americans own passports, and not even half of them have ever left the country. So you're talking about something in the area of 5% of Americans have ever left the United States.
Shoot.
Yeah. But yet everybody on the street is an expert on foreign policy.
Huh?
And I just find that amazing.
They're getting it done. They're getting it. They're being spoon-fed. They're getting it. They're getting it sent in by every possible way that they think they're thinking for themselves in many cases. But in fact, they're repeating what they've been told. Look at Fox. Where did you grow up then, Don?
I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for the most part.
Shoot. Why do you know the band? There's a band. I mean, you say Oklahoma. Well, from Woody Guthrie, of course. But there's a band. I was just with these guys. They were pretty well. They were about a decade later. I'm talking about the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Do you know those guys?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, because they definitely were dancing from very early to a different drummer, too, in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, in those kind of towns. I guess you managed to make it to Norman, and then Norman is the jumping-off place to the world, maybe.
Yeah. I didn't go to college in Oklahoma, but, yeah, I am familiar with Norman, of course.
And of course, maybe eventually if you discover Woody Guthrie and find that Oklahoma is not always Oklahoma, there was this guy riding freight trains around and writing a book, Bound for Glory. That was getting out.
Yeah, that was cool stuff. Yeah, Woody Guthrie, you got to love him.
I do. In fact, I'm in Bob Dylan's autobiography about how I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I went back there in 1961 after doing a lot of riding freight trains, traveling around, and he was 18, and so everybody kind of gathered around because I'd been with the Beats, I knew Jack Kerouac and all that, so I gave him this book. I said, you got to read this book, Bob. This is what you need. He was 18 years old, and now, half century or so later, he writes, he says, the Beats of a Galley, Diamond Dave, that's me, gave me this book and it changed my life. This is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to be. I had no idea people could live this way. And it was Woody Guthrie's Bound for Glory.
That's cool. And he mentions your name in his autobiography.
Yeah, if you go to the Dickey Town, was the Bohemian town of Minneapolis. He does.
Cool.
He calls me the Beatsford Galley. And then not only that I knew he was still, that I told him he was still alive and where he could be found. And he said, I had no idea. He says, this is all about, I had no idea. I thought he was long dead, somebody out of the 30s. And so we sent him out. After we were hanging out, we were smoking and joking and hanging out. And he said, I'm going to go see Woody. So he took him out on the highway. He doesn't talk about this. Took him out, that's probably for volume two. And it was the snow was falling, but it was a warm night. And I remember last looking and seeing him on the road with his guitar in his hand, this little Jewish guy, and his thumb hair out. A couple weeks later, I get this card that says, I saw Woody. He likes my stuff. He likes my stuff. Signed, Bob. And then beside, this card kills a fascist, because Woody had on his guitar, this machine kills fascists, from his World War II days, you know?
Cool, yeah. Yeah, I knew that about his guitar. It's cool stuff.
And so there we are, Oskaloma, Flaming Lips, Bizarro, Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is casting that wide net, finding that common thread, letting life flourish, and don't panic, let's keep it organic. Anyway, so tell me a bit, so you do the Bizarro humor, which is also political humor. Lenny Bruce was also around in those days, you know, doing something similar, going from town to town. And, of course, it was still the 50s, trying to avoid getting busted and failure, you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah, he had quite a life. Far too short, but a pretty interesting one. Yeah, part of why I'm traveling around is promoting my new book, which is a retrospective of my whole career, and it's got tons of the fine art that you were talking about. It's got a lot of my political humor. It's got a lot of my animal rights and veganism information and humor in it. And it's got cartoons and a sketchbook and just, like, it's stuff from every part of my career so far.
Oh, shoot. I can hardly wait to see it. Is the book out, or is it coming out soon, or what's going on there?
Yeah, it's just now hitting stores, and it's called Bizarro and Other Strange Manifestations of the Art of Dan Ferraro. In fact, there's an image of it on my website, if you still have it on your screen.
Okay, no, we're looking right as I'm talking to you. I'm looking at your website. This is the Marvels of Technology. There it is. Book. Oh, there's the young Dan Pizarro, too.
Hit on that page, hit book A, and that'll show you the
book
picture.
Book A. Okay, we're doing just that. This is cool. Oh, there it is. And there you are. So that was Dan Pizarro as kid. And there you are. That's your image of yourself there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With the hat on. And again, something like, what's his name, from Zap Comics did. Okay, yeah. So anyway, who published that? Let me see right.
Oh, it's Abrams Publishing, yeah.
Oh, Abrams. Oh, they mentioned that. Well, Abrams is a great art publishing house, too, isn't it?
Yeah, they're like the premier art book publishers.
They are. I can hardly wait to get a copy. I can hardly wait to sit with you and go over that. When you get in town, let's connect. Maybe if you get some time, come over here, and we'll pass the book back and forth. And maybe,
yeah, that'd be
maybe
fun.
We can pass something else back and really get into it. That would definitely be fun. We can do that.
It would be fun.
And, we're right over here at 16th and Cap, just three blocks away from the marsh.
So, okay, that's cool.
In the heart of the Mission. We'll get together. We'll take a tour down Haight Street and take a tour around the Mission. We'll have some fun when you get in here for sure. What's this, Three Little Pigs by the White House? This another book of yours?
Yeah, the Three Little Pigs by the White House was it's a political satire that I published, that was published by St. Martin's Press.
Okay, another time, okay.
Yeah, that was in 2004, and it's a mock children's book, and it's the story of the Three Little Pigs. In this case, it is Dickie, Rummy, and W.
Oh, boy, I see
it
right there.
The Three Little Pigs, and they buy their way into the White House and inherit a country made of bricks, give the bricks away to their rich friends, and eventually turn it into a country made of straw. And the big bad wolf huffs and puffs and blows it down.
Shoot. Oh, there's what's her name, too? There's Condi, too.
Yeah, Condi, right.
Shoot, and that's still going on. It just gets worse. And Rummy, they're all still there, too. Now there's going to, what's he doing? Still there after disaster, after disaster, after disaster.
Yeah, no kidding.
House of straw, the fucking thing's we can say that online. Pardon me, I almost stopped it. Well, I forgot we're online. The fucking thing's burning, and they're still online. In fact, I forgot we were online. I can say those words with no fear. Anyway, and we're going out around the planet streaming. They haven't been able to touch that, or they'd love to. The FCC would like to get their hands on that for sure. But
yeah,
we still flow. Anyway, here's my take on Bush. Here it goes. I said, fuck George Bush and the horse he rode in on. Wrong. It's fuck George Bush. He's the horse that they rode in on.
Yeah, that's not a bad take.
And there they are. Well, it's your book, too. There they are sitting around. House of Brick to House of Straw. My goodness. Well, I can say we're on the same page there, brother. I can see that.
Hey, absolutely.
Can you give us a... do you want to give us a take, or if you can, give us a take, give us a sample of what you do out there, and what you're going to be doing at the march there between 22nd and 23rd on Valencia Street.
Yes, I don't know. It's kind of hard to do. It's very hard to do a sample of it over radio or web, really. But it's a variety show. I have songs that I've written and I sing. They're comedy songs. I have puppets, costumes, so a couple of, I do some audience participation.
Right, sounds like a great variety show. I can hardly wait to see it. Let's get the dates again. Now, you're going to be here next weekend?
Yeah, no. I'm at the Marsh on April 17th and 18th, and then I'm out in Mill Valley at 142 Throckmorton Theater on the 19th, and then I'm in Berkeley at La Peña Cultural Center on the 20th, and then I'm in Santa Cruz on the 21st at the Rio Theater.
Okay, I do. So you're going to be around these parts for some time, for a week or so?
Yeah, that whole week, and then I head up to Oregon. I do something in Eugene, then Portland, and then Seattle, and then I head back home for a while.
Okay. We'll put that. We'll let people know where you can be found for sure. And so this is gonna give us a chance to connect for sure. I can hardly wait to see your show, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, oh. You'll love it. You'll love the show. It's great. You'll really enjoy it.
I'm down with it. I'm up for it. Down for it. Around for it. And also, you mentioned are you a vegan?
Yeah, vegan, yeah, sure.
Vegan, pardon me, vegan. Oh, you know, when I first began to hear people say, well, I'm a vegan. And there was a lot of punk rockers, young punk rockers who were vegans, you know, and young hippies, too.
Sure.
I guess they kind of opened the door. But now they got freegans. Have you heard of freegans?
Oh, freegans? Yeah. I have a couple of friends who are freegans.
Yeah, freegans.
That's pretty crazy.
Freegans. They're vegans unless they get it for free. In the case of the punks, unless it comes out of the dumpster. They'll eat anything if it comes out of the dumpster. Or if they're at somebody's house, they say, well, I'm a vegan. They don't say that any longer because they sort of guys do, well, I'm usually a vegan, but this guy, I'll be a freegan and eat that steak. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting lifestyle for sure.
Anyway, yeah, I've been have you heard of the Rainbow Family? We have these big gatherings called Rainbow Gatherings.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm one of the old timers in that family, and we always there's a lot of vegans, vegetarians, freegans all come there for a week dancing in the sun and the rain or whatever in these beautiful. Last year we were in West Virginia up in the Alleghenies. Next year we're going to be way up in the Craya, hanging out, not a marijuana free zone, but a free marijuana zone, sharing food and music and having a good old time in some beautiful spot.
Sounds good.
First week of July. Yeah, the website for those who listen is welcomehome.org. And, PETA, and of course, going all the way, going back, the veteran of many struggles, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good group, too. Those are great guys and gals.
Yeah, for sure. So these folks are going to be coming around. These folks are going to be looking for you coming to town, wherever you come to town, too. We're responsible medicine, responsible eating, responsible nutrition, and responsible people's politics all come together. There you'll be, and in a humorous, tug-in-cheek kind of way. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, definitely.
Finding that common thread and letting it flourish. Well, it's in fact, I'm looking at your at that side of you. Animal rights cartoons, Our Humans Carnivores, Coconut.
Our Humans Natural Carnivores, which we are not, but it's difficult to convince people of that unless they have some knowledge of zoology and anthropology, in which case it's pretty easy to convince them of it. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the reason that we get, it's pretty much the main reason we get heart disease and cancer and those kind of things is by bombarding our bodies with toxins, and animal products are toxins to us because we're herbivores. It's just a bad fuel for a human body.
Shoot. Whether those who say that there are biblical references to that, going all the way back, the Rastas that pick up on that line about how he created every plant for our use.
Yeah, right. That's right. The Rastas use that both for vegetarianism and one other recreational.
Yeah, it's called the ganja. We can say that too. No problem with that, brother. No problem with that. It's a natural way. It's a good way. This is San Francisco. It might not be a marijuana free. It's not certainly not a marijuana free zone, but it isn't quite a free marijuana zone. But we do have in every neighborhood, sometimes a couple on a block, a medical marijuana dispensaries. It's quite easy to get a ticket, a card that says that for whatever reasons, for a million different reasons, good smoke ain't gonna hurt, and in fact, may help.
Yeah, I'm amazed by that, and I'm really thrilled too. It's wonderful to see that in California, and I really hope that what we're seeing there is the future of the entire country. At some point, we'll give up this ludicrous corporate sponsored criminal empire that they force on the marijuana industry. It's unbelievably unfair and unjust. And I'm not even a big pothead.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just
being logical.
Well, of course, I'm 68 years old. Actually, I just smoke there at the gathering, and then I leave it behind because I'm clean and sober. The rest, because I'm a recovering alcoholic, I'm 9 years sober. So I leave everything behind. I'm on the red road. It's the Native Americans, my Native American side. But when I'm at the gathering, it's a free marijuana zone, and I'm down with my brothers and sisters. Somebody says to me, "Hey, Diamond Dave, you can smoke miles and miles away from a liquor store." And I said, "Wait a minute. You're right." Anyway, that's a good one here. We're just looking at your one. I see the guitar now called Ugly Pet. That's really cool. You know that one? It's on your,
on the unpublished works.
Ugly Pet.
And then it's a dog with the head of a lizard with a guitar as its inner.
Yeah, I remember that. It's an illustration.
It's for local bands. I don't know what local was when you did that. Was that back? Is that product of your youth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's something I did some years ago for a CD cover, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. Yeah, I've forgotten. I haven't looked at every page of that website in quite a while, so you catch me by surprise with some of these. It's sort of a blast from the past.
It just came up at random, and it says they didn't even use it. Instead, these guys are still stuck in that little town, because instead of using that, this is it looks like it turned out to have a poem. I have a line that goes, "Conventional thick and short sighters, deaf and blind in the spirit." Instead, they used the cover of a buxom babe washing a car in a wet T-shirt.
Yeah, probably.
If I was getting together some bands, that's the one I'd use for sure. But that was more punk rock. Did you go through a punk rock your stage back then? Because you're the right age.
Yeah, I did. In fact, I was in a band in the late 70s, a punk rock band, and I was their lead singer, and I did some songwriting and stuff back then, which is why I enjoy writing songs and singing in my comedy show now, because I never lost the never lost the attraction to it, but I'm not in a band. I haven't been in a band now for years.
Oh, what was that band called?
It was called The Do, D-O-O.
The Do, doing the Do, we're doing the Do. Where was that?
The Do. What was that?
Where was that?
Oh, that was in, it was actually in Dallas, Texas is where we played.
Oh, Dallas.
Dallas, Austin. Played some in Austin.
Oh, in the early 80s, I remember, The Rhythm Pigs. Did you know those guys? They're up here now. They came out. They had come out of Austin punk rock. They're up here now. They're friends. My son is, who's 40 years old, is a famous funkified bass player. And he plays with those guys out of Austin, out of that era called Rhythm Pigs.
That sounds familiar. I think I did know them.
Yeah, his website is Ubi Doobie. His name is UbiDoobie.com. That's UbiDoobie.com. He's a great funkified bass player. But also out of Austin, coming at that same time, you probably know, in fact, where they just came through again, MDC, Millions of Dead Cops. Do you remember them? DRI, that's Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. The Big Boys and the Dicks. They were all Austin punk rock at that time, early 80s, and they came up here, and the rest is hipstery. Anyways, I'm looking at your sketchbooks. You still there?
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute, but you're back now.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about Austin punk rock.
Yeah, that was fun stuff. So, you said something about my sketchbooks?
Yeah, we're looking at this is called Sis and Pig. on the website, Citizen Pig.
Oh, Citizen Pig. Yeah, that was a fun series I did, yeah. Just some, yeah, some crazy wordless cartoons. That one is mostly fun just for the art. Just some sort of over-the-top art.
Oh, that's was that from your Austin days, too? Austin.
That was later. That was, that Citizen Pig stuff is only about probably less than 10 years old, maybe 8 years old, not too long ago.
Shoot, that was cool. That came out of Austin, too. The cartoonists who were come out of Austin, that was much earlier. David Sheridan, Gilbert Shelton. Gilbert Shelton, he started out, you could probably still get it online. He started doing the comics, the comic strip in the UT, University of Texas, human
right.
magazine called Wonder Warthog. I thought of him because he's the pig, and he was doing Wonder Warthog way back then.
Cool.
In that generation of underground cartoonists that came out of Austin and came to San Francisco, where they joined the San Francisco artists, the rest is hipstery, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty. That sounds good. I haven't seen that, but it sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it was kind of before Zap Magazine, kind of before your time. The generation of cartoonists just before yours.
Yeah.
I like to. I'm 68, so I like doing these hipsteries and these lineages and how it all connects one to another. Hey, brother, as you can tell.
Yeah, I'm in my mid-40s, so you got a few years on me.
Yeah, I got 20 years on it. I got two decades. But but as you tell, I'm still up for it, still down for it, still around for it, still going for it, not ready to be in for it and out of it yet. Saying, don't worry, be hippie. Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
That's a good motto.
Well, it's my morning mantra. If I say that in the morning when I wake up, I'm up for it, down for it, around for it, so let's go for it. Nobody needs to be in for it and out of it. Don't worry, be hippie. Fuck them if they can't take a joke. The day goes much better. The looks I get, the why do you look like such a wild old man? It's like water off a duck's back. Yeah, you'll see me. You'll see. In fact, if you Google me,
you're an inspiration to us.
Well, it's just by a simple twist of fate. Well, I'm doing this thing. Oh, you'll like this, and I can put it. I can do this too because I can put it out to the audience. I had this vision, Dan. I'm doing the. It's National Poetry Month. It just started in April,
yeah.
And at the end of the month, I had this vision of doing the mother of all open mics. That's what I do, an MC from open mics, under the dome in City Hall. And it seemed so good to me. They wouldn't do that. I said, no, it's going to happen. And guess what? On the 27th of April, under the dome of City Hall, sponsored by. And so usually it's $5,000 to rent this under the dome of City Hall. But it's free for you since it's sponsored by the mayor's office of San Francisco, the board of supervisors of San Francisco, the public library, San Francisco Public Library, City Lights Book, then I got City Lights Bookstore, Poetry Flash, and the Beat Museum out underwrite it. So it's going to be, somebody just did a website for me. It's called poemdome.com. He's just putting it in, and it's going to be huge. And this is the first ever, and I don't think it's ever happened before, and I think it's going to go around the planet. Are you there still? Oh, no, I think.
Well, it looks like we've got the true language of Pizarro. Turns out to be he's alien. He must be Martian or something like that. So, here, we'll go back to some quick music and see if we can round up that floating cartoonist.
Hey, Pizarro.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back on. It's just a minute. We can just keep coming back. What the hey? Never. But anyway, we're looking. This has been a great conversation that's planted some seeds, I think, for our listeners around the planet. And I want to tie it up. And this is part. Hopefully, this is part one. And part two is when you're actually over here, and we can sit down and pass the book around and pass it around and have a good. But anyway, I got the Pizarro Baloney Show, and we're gonna go on. On the schedule, breaking news, or the schedule?
The schedule in the Bay Area?
Yeah, let's give it. We're going to be going on the planet. Okay, here we have it here. So why don't you, let's go over to start in L.A.
Yeah, I started out in L.A. on April 13th at a place called I.O. West.
Oh, I thought it was I.Q. West. I.O. West is okay.
Yeah, I.O. West. Yeah, it stands for Improv Olympic, I think.
Oh, the Improv Olympics. Okay, I thought maybe it was a men's social club called I.Q. West.
Yeah, that was I.O. West. That's on the 13th. And then I do...
That'd be funny. You'd fit right in. They'd have a regular tour, Bizarro, anyway, at IQ West, the men's. Okay, and then you're going to be in San Francisco on the 17th and 18th.
Yes, 17th and 18th in San Francisco at the Marsh Theater in the Mission.
Okay, then that's right on Valencia Street between 22nd and 23rd. I know it well.
I will trust you on that. That's your hood.
It is, definitely is. That's my stomping grounds.
Yeah.
My strolling, sauntering, and schmoozing grounds.
Yeah, and then Wednesday the 19th, I'm out in Mill Valley at a place called 142 Throckmorton Theater. Oh, it's actually a really, really cool theater out there.
Oh, I hadn't heard of it. I want to come out.
Yeah, and then the next day I'm in, on the 20th, April 20th, I'm in Berkeley at La Peña Cultural Center.
Okay, we all know La Peña. That's where the left meets to KPFA and La Peña. Okay. All right.
Then the 21st, I'm in Santa Cruz at the Rio Theater.
Okay, that's a cool place.
Yeah, and then let's see, on the 24th, I'm up in Eugene, Oregon at the University of Oregon. They're having me there at some concert hall or something, I don't know where. And then on the 25th, April 25th, I'm in Portland at Wonder Ballroom. Wonder Ballroom or Wonderland Ballroom? I think it's just Wonder Ballroom. That's in Portland. And then the next night on the 26th, I am in Seattle at the Comedy Underground.
Well, shoot, this guy, you're going to leave a wake of laughing people. Laughing people. It's going to be a shrewd, what did they say about you? A shrewd
tour of an artist's imagination.
All right, the New York Times said.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And, hey, and all the profits from my show go to animal rescue sanctuaries. So you can actually burn off bad karma while laughing at my shows. That's a pretty rare entertainment event right there.
Hey, well, I'm definitely down with that. Well, look, I bet you know over there on the New York. Do you know Zero Boy?
I'm sorry, I'm losing you again.
Zero Boy?
Say again?
He's a comedian and mimic, an amazing mimic. In fact, the shrewd tour applies to him too. They call him Zero Boy.
Oh, no, I don't know that. I don't know that guy.
You guys got to be. He's on the New York City Lower East Side. Anyway, brother, I've been talking to Bizarro, and is there anything else we should put? Oh, the site, we'll have that on. People can click on that. And look, Dan Bizarro, who's comic strip Bizarro, you probably see every day in the Chronicle, and he's going to be here doing his show. You can come to see it in his flesh, and it's going for a good cause, treating our fellow human beings in a good way. How's that? Hey, Dan, keep up the good work.
All right, thanks a lot.
I'll see you later, brother.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Dan Bizarro, and he's going to be coming through, as you heard, and we're going to be having part two, cutting it up when he gets in town around the 16th and the 17th at the Marsh. 17th and 18th. Monday and Tuesday at the Marsh. And check out his website, bizarro.com, and hopefully there'll be a link. Thanks a lot. Brothers and sisters, talk to you soon.